Is starting pitching a positive for the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2023? Who's going to be the backup catcher behind Austin Hedges to begin the year? And O'Neill Cruz signs a sponsorship deal. All of that and more on today's episode of Locked On Pirates.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome back to that Pirates podcast, everybody. My name is Ethan Smith, your host of the Locked On Pirates podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team, your Pittsburgh Pirates every single day. I hope you guys are all having a phenomenal Wednesday, March 22nd. And the WBC has concluded. The World Baseball Classic has concluded. We got a phenomenal matchup last night. Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout ends things. Full count. Ohtani strikes him out. Very cool moment there for the WBC. We also got to see David Bednar have a scoreless seventh inning in the World Baseball Classic Championship Final. So all cool, fun things to see from the World Baseball Classic, a very fun tournament that brought baseball back into the limelight with just over a week to go before we have opening day. And that means spring training is almost over. And as spring training is coming to a close, there are certain questions, certain things that we've seen from this Pirates team in spring training. Of course, you guys enjoyed the optimism show that we did with Gary on Monday about spring training and things that we've seen that were very good. And also, if you're on YouTube, check below down here to follow me on Twitter at MVP underscore Ethan or at Locked On Pirates for all of your 2023 coverage, analysis, and opinions of the Pittsburgh Pirates here on Locked On, your team every day. And by the way, you'll see coming up down there throughout the year so you can see what's going on the podcast with all the content that we have coming your way. But so far this year in spring training, there have been some things the Pirates have shown that are positives. One of those positives is obviously, I think right now, the starting pitching staff that this team is going to enter 2023 with. And that's not even including the starting pitching staff that they're going to have throughout the year with the additions of Johan Oviedo, Luis Ortiz, and others that are going to eventually make their way into the starting rotation. But so far this spring training, we've seen some good things. And I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. This, of course, is MLB.com, where you can always go and look at a bunch of stats and stuff for how things have looked pitching and hitting-wise in spring training for this Pirates team. And we got to see JT Brubaker recently. Man, he has looked absolutely perfect this spring. 16 hits given up, 10 earned runs allowed over 5 games and 5 starts. But, I mean, 26 strikeouts, dude, over 17 and one-thirds innings. JT Brubaker has done a phenomenal job so far in spring training. And what's crazy about what we've seen from JT Brubaker is that he's at best probably your fifth starter in this rotation that's likely going to feature Mitch Keller, Rolandy Contreras, Rich Hill, JT Brubaker, and Vince Velasquez to begin the year. So the fact that JT Brubaker is pitching this well, and I'd say at best is your third starter, but probably your fourth or fifth starter in the rotation, that just shows a lot of growth in this starting pitching staff from what we've seen from this Pittsburgh Pirates team. And as you continue, you look at Mitch Keller, who's also had a pretty impressive spring this far as well, a 3.45 ERA in 5 starts, 20 strikeouts over 15 and 2/3 innings pitched, a .96 whip and a .246 opponent's average. I've really liked what I've seen from Mitch Keller as well, of course, announced as the opening day starter against the Cincinnati Reds next week. Very, very excited for him to get that opportunity and actually be able to have that opportunity with everything that he's dealt with. And I've already talked ad nauseum about Mitch Keller and the idea that the Pirates probably need to talk to him about an extension pretty soon, because if he has a strong 2023, which I fully expect from Mitch Keller, things are going to get really interesting in terms of if the Pirates are going to get priced out on him based off of his age and his commitment to you know, how good he's been. And the Pirates are, again, a team that doesn't like to throw a lot of money out there to free agents, even on their own team. And Mitch Keller could price himself out of Pittsburgh if he has a big year. So I think it's something that the Pirates really need to hone in on, getting an extension done with Mitch Keller. And then you scroll down a little bit more. Of course, Johan Oviedo has been a talk of a town as a guy that definitely should be a part of this rotation at some point. But I do agree that Johan Oviedo probably does need to go to AAA alongside Luis Ortiz so that those two guys can hone everything that they need to fix, become more seasoned products. And then when we eventually see the, I would call, eventual Rich Hill trade, and then likely either a Vince Velasquez move to the bullpen or a Vince Velasquez trade, I would assume that Oviedo and Brubaker would then take up those spots. But, I mean, we've seen good things from Oviedo as well. Of course, these are just the stats, but if you actually watch these guys play, I mean, you're seeing good command from all the starters. You're seeing good decision-making from all the starters. All of their secondary pitches appear to be working as well, especially from JT Brubaker and Mitch Keller. So you're seeing good things out of all of these guys. And you're seeing low ERA numbers. You're seeing high strikeout numbers. You're seeing good things that are very promising if you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. Because when was the last time, as Pirates fans, that we really saw a starting pitching staff that we could go out and say was at least decent? I mean, you're looking at 2019 when they had Chris Archer, Jameson Taillon, Joe Musgrove. That was a very good group, but they never really could bring it all together. So now that the Pirates are in a state where a lot of these guys are very young, unlike Musgrove and Taillon and those guys who are, and Chris Archer, who were eventually on their way out anyways, a lot of these guys are just now entering their MLB careers, like a Rolandi Contreras, like a Mitch Keller, like a JT Brubaker, even if you want to take it that far. Even though we've seen these guys for quite some time now, they are just finally starting to get into their prime. Then you look at a guy like Rich Hill. We already know, I would honestly not even look at Rich Hill's stats in spring training. The guy is 42 years old, heading to 43. He's going to be the oldest player to put on an MLB uniform this year. So I wouldn't worry too much about Rich Hill and what he's done this spring. He's going to be in the rotation. He's going to use that nasty curveball against everybody like he has for the past decade and a half. He's going to be absolutely phenomenal for this team, I think. And I think he has a chance to be a Jose Quintana and Tyler Anderson type, where he's going to have kind of a resurgent season for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then you get to Vince Velasquez, which is the biggest thing. And I have seen discourse about Vince Velasquez being the starter on this team. But at the end of the day, the Pirates have kind of already hinted that he was going to be a starter to at least begin the season. But that doesn't mean that Vince Velasquez can't eventually make the move to the bullpen. And that's a very good thing to have, as seeing right now that it appears there's two vacancies in the bullpen with Robert Stevenson and Harleen Garcia, both likely starting the season on the injured list. Harleen Garcia probably on the 60-day. I would imagine Robert Stevenson probably on the 30-day. Robert Stevenson news came out today that Derek Shelton, they just feel like they're running out of time for Robert Stevenson to get back up to speed to start the season in the bullpen. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Pirates handle the bullpen as well. But the starting rotation, man, I think it's in very good hands. You're looking at, once again, Rolandi Contreras, Mitch Keller, JT Brubaker, Rich Hill, and Vince Velasquez is what you're going to be working with. And that is a rotation that could be worse. It could be much worse than what the Pirates have had for quite some time these last couple of years. You're not going to have the Bryce Wilsons of the world. You're not going to have the, I mean, there's plenty of names you could throw in there. You're not going to have all of these guys that just don't really have any meaning to what the Pirates are going to be doing in this rotation. These guys outside of Rich Hill and Vince Velasquez are going to be a part of this Pirates rotation for the foreseeable future, adding in Johan Oviedo, adding in Luis Ortiz, adding in Quinn Priester, adding in Oswaldo Beto, who's another guy that could eventually make some noise in this rotation if he really wanted to. Angel Perdomo, probably more of a bullpen guy, but there's a lot to like. There's a lot to like about this right now, and in spring training, we've seen good things. The command has been there. The strikeout numbers have been there. There haven't been a lot of home runs allowed from the starting pitching staff either, so we're seeing good things from the starting pitching staff that I hope trickle into the regular season. I'm hoping it also leads to the Pirates having at least a middle-of-the-road rotation, because I think that'll just improve the team all around. By the way, with baseball season almost here, make sure you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to make every moment more at FanDuel Sportsbook. The tournament is heating up, March Madness that is, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. You can also build your favorite NBA bets for the week that can include core markets like the spread, money line, and total, player props like player points, rebounds, assists, and more, and so many more exclusive bets like the 2x3 bet, which includes 2 3-pointers scored in the first 3 minutes. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay, so don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more, and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA and the official sports betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. And before we get into who will be the backup catcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, we'll be right back. Alrighty, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. Once again, I am your host, Ethan Smith. Hope you guys are all having a wonderful Wednesday, March 22nd, as we are just over a week away from opening day. Content is heating up, and we're going to continue today's episode by talking about the backup catcher position. Not a sexy conversation, but a conversation to have of note. It is a lot like the Harleen Garcia injury news that we talked about a week ago, about how it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it definitely has its ripple effects. And when it comes to the catcher position, it also has its ripple effects. And you look at right now what this catcher position looks like for this Pirates team, and I mean, obviously this guy on the bottom of the list, Eddie Rodriguez, he's the guy that we want to see. He's the guy that the Pirates need to get a look at. Henry Davis, probably on the back burner a little bit with Eddie Rodriguez starting the season in AAA. I talked about that last week as well, about the ripple effects of Eddie Rodriguez starting the season in Indianapolis rather than starting it here, and that Henry Davis would more than likely just be a cup of coffee guy this year rather than a guy who is eventually going to make an impact on this team this season. Eddie Rodriguez, I'll go out and say it right now, he's going to be the starting catcher at some point this year, and I also find it very ironic that his average in spring was .412, as well as his on-base percentage, like a real yinzer. So Eddie Rodriguez, it's going to be very exciting to watch him. I'm going to be watching a lot of Indianapolis Indians games just to keep track of how he's doing down there. I imagine he'll be doing great, back-to-back minor league MVP. He's going to be very good for this Pittsburgh Pirates team eventually. Now, Hodges is going to be the starting catcher for this Pittsburgh Pirates team to begin the season, and you've already seen the offense is not that good. 11 strikeouts, 133 average, 300 OPS. It's not going to be that bad, I would say. I do think he will at least be around or a little bit above the Mendoza line offensively, but as we were just talking about starting pitching, that's why Austin Hedges is here. Austin Hedges is a guy that's going to elevate the starting pitching group defensively. He's going to throw guys out at second, which is going to be a big deal this year with the bases being much bigger and guys more willing to steal. And on top of that, he's also going to be a good mentor to a guy like Eddie Rodriguez and some of these younger catchers. But now what gets interesting is take Eddie Rodriguez out of the fold here. He's on the 40-man. We know he's going to be up here in probably like May or June. Just we'll bring that up when we bring that up and when that gets to the point in the regular season. What gets interesting about this backup catcher position is you have three guys that you're basically looking at, considering there's only five on this list, in Jason DeLay, Tyler Heineman, and Kevin Plawecki. Now, I'll start with Tyler Heineman, who is the most familiar with how things work with this team, as well as Jason DeLay. But Tyler Heineman at points last year was the starting catcher after Roberto Perez was injured. And if you've also noticed a trend about the catcher position since Jacob Stallings went down, this catcher position has been a mess. And Andy Rodriguez is going to fix that mess eventually. But for now, I do think offensively, it's still going to be a mess. And you look at a guy like Tyler Heineman, just from a statistical perspective in spring, he has not looked very good, but he's also, on top of Hedges, a solid defensive catcher. He's not the greatest defensive catcher in the world, but he's going to give you solid defense behind the plate every single day that he plays. Obviously, Hedges is going to be the starter, so Heineman's only going to, or whoever backs up Austin Hedges here, is only going to say, I'd say maybe once or twice a week at max, because Austin Hedges is going to be in the lineup very often. But you look at a guy like Heineman, I think he might have the one up here on these two other guys, just because, one, he was the starter last year. He's most familiar with guys like Mitch Keller and Rowanji Contreras and JT Brubaker. You could use the familiarity complex, but it's also on the same side of the coin. These three guys are all non-roster invitees, so you're going to have to add one of them to the 40-man roster to fulfill having a backup catcher on this roster. You just saw Carter Benn slide off of the roster today, or yesterday. And it gets interesting because a lot of people actually were saying, why not bring Carter Benn up? And I agreed, because what else do you have to lose here when these are your options? None of these guys are your future at this position. Also, not saying Carter Benn is the future at this position by any stretch of the imagination, but he's at least a guy that you could eventually groom into a backup catcher behind Hedges or behind Henry Davis or whatever they decide to do with this for the foreseeable future, and you're grooming him into that role. But they decide to go this way. Now, from a statistical view, if you want to bring at least a little offense to this position, Kevin Plawecki would be the guy that you would choose from here. Obviously, he's the only one with a home run out of this group, but home runs aren't everything. And Kevin Plawecki is slashing .235, .235, .353, and .588 on spring, albeit that's in 17 at-bats. So, talking about this backup catcher position, the more and more you talk about it, I do think it's going to be Tyler Heineman who is eventually going to get that nod. And we are going to find out the answer to this at some point within the week, with the last spring training game being next Tuesday. This answer is going to have to come eventually. The Pirates have dodged it long enough, but they're going to have to answer to this eventually. Do they go out and maybe get another guy to add to this mix? Do they go get an outside catcher from free agency? Maybe. I doubt it, though. They're going to probably choose from these three guys. And Jason DeLay, I think, is going to be the odd man out here. I think he's a lock to be in Indianapolis to begin the year and be kind of a, Hedges goes down with an injury, or Heineman or Plawecki goes down with an injury, we need a backup catcher at the major league level. I think that's something you'll see from Jason DeLay, and that's what his role will be. So then it gets between Tyler Heineman and Kevin Plawecki. Now, in the comments, say who you would want as the backup catcher. I know most of your answers are going to be Andy Rodriguez. Your answer should be Andy Rodriguez. He's looked the best catcher in spring. He's been the best catcher in spring. He's the best catcher on this Pittsburgh Pirates team, be it minor leagues or major leagues. It's just how it is. But Plawecki is probably going to be the answer, but it's so 50-50 right now between him and Tyler Heineman. Mainly because, again, Tyler Heineman has the familiarity complex with the starting pitching. I think the Pirates are basically just throwing away any idea of having offense in this position, which is perfectly fine until Andy Rodriguez arrives. As long as the defense is what we are expecting from it and the caliber that Austin Hedges and, say, a Plawecki or, say, a Heineman can bring to the position. I think that's the biggest thing that you're looking for here. And this is also just, again, the hitting stuff. But who really knows? I mean, You expand it a little bit more. It doesn't really change that much outside of the expansion, outside of hits by pitch and total bases and stuff like that. But even then, Andy Rodriguez is eventually going to be the guy at this position. So I would say it's very 50-50 on who they're going to choose behind Austin Hedges. Is it Tyler Heineman? Is it Kevin Plawecki? We'll eventually see. Again, the answer to this will come within the week, and I won't be surprised with whoever they do put back there, because ultimately it's not going to make that much of a difference, but it could make a difference in the grand scheme of things. Say if Austin Hedges does go down, then things start to get interesting with this position, because who do you bring up and do you call up Andy early? There's a lot of things to go on with this catcher position. Again, they're kind of punting on the position until Andy comes up, but it is of note to think about as you're watching this last week of spring training. Now, being a baseball GM is hard, very, very difficult, and it requires a lot of thought and a lot of thinking, a lot of decisions, a lot of tough decisions. But if you want some of those tough decisions and you want to bring in a catcher and bring up the best catcher in your system, play Ultimate Baseball GM. You get a 100% free boost when you use the promo code LOCKEDON in the game shop. And I'm really geeked out by our new partner and sponsor of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Baseball GM. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an MLB general manager and managing your professional baseball franchise? Well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. Manage every aspect of your team, play through the season, and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for hiring the right coaches and staff, managing team finances, scouting and drafting players, managing difficult personalities, navigating your franchise through free agency, and all the ups and downs of a season. All of this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free and playable online. You can play on the go as you want and when you want to. I have played it a lot. The farthest I have got is 15 out of the 25 possible seasons, which is farther than a lot of the Locked On MLB hosts who I'm competing against for the most wins in our league that we have. Also, by the way, you can be in leagues with people, but you are competing against yourself. You're competing against the computer. You're just trying to rack up wins, rack up championships. Make sure your coaching staff and facilities are good. Make sure you have legends in your team. I had a catcher on my team that was there for 11 years and was my first 99 overall player. So if you want that experience, do it. And I mean, it's really fun. If you're on a road trip and you're not the driver, just play it on your phone. It doesn't require internet. If you're on a nice leisurely stroll through your neighborhood, put it on, go through a season. You can go through a season in less than 5 minutes. It's absolutely awesome. And Locked On Pirates listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com. Scan the code or look it up on the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com, Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. Alrighty, everybody, and welcome back to the final segment of today's episode of Locked On Pirates, where we're talking about O'Neill Cruz. And he gets a sponsorship deal through the glove company Rawlings Baseball. We're all, of course, familiar with Rawlings, as it's one of my favorite companies, who is the sponsor of the Gold Glove Award, which just seems that won't be ever given to Key Brian Hayes, even though he was the leader in defensive run saves among all third basemen in Major League Baseball last year. I probably ranted about that more times than I could count. But O'Neill Cruz signed that deal. By the way, his glove looked absolutely phenomenal. If you go to Rawlings Twitter, you can find it. It's like a red and yellow glove with his name engraved in it in gold. I really, really enjoy it. But it had me thinking. And oddly enough, yesterday, he made a pretty cool play against Alec Boehm where he just casually jumped up, and Joe Block was like, "Hey, you're gonna have to hit that a little higher, pal." How defender at the position. We've seen things in spring already that have looked promising. Obviously, the velocity throws are still there. He had a 98.4 mile per hour throw over at shortstop the first the other day. Me and Gary, of course, talked about the importance of having a good defensive first baseman over there that can help him a bit. But obviously, the throws have to be on target still for the defensive first baseman to help you on a bad throw. But how can O'Neill Cruz eventually become a plus defender? One, I think a lot of it is just going through the motions. And according to a lot of people closer to the situation around Cruz and closer to how he handled the offseason, he apparently worked on his defense a lot over the offseason. It was a point of emphasis for him to get better in. And if he becomes a plus defender, man, I mean, you have a superstar on your hands already and a guy whose sky is the limit. If he becomes a plus defender at the shortstop position, especially with that big frame, he's going to be a big plus and a big positive for this team, especially with the new shift rules. Having that length at that position is going to be very, very important. You look at the guys like Dansby Swanson. You look at a guy like Corey Seager. You look at a guy like Xander Bogaerts, who have that reach at that position that can extend out far into the outfield or in the deep grass or in the deep sand and still make the play to first. That's something that I think O'Neill Cruz is eventually going to be capable of. And having a guy next to him like a Key Brian Hayes is also going to be helpful in his development as a guy who can eventually become, I would say, at least an average defender. And even if he's just below average, I know that was, I said below back-to-back, but just below average, I still think that's a win. Because obviously, O'Neill Cruz's biggest thing is going to be his offensive ability from the shortstop position. If he doesn't work out at shortstop defensively, maybe you try moving him to the outfield, but then you have a lot of guys out there in the outfield as well. You want his athleticism on the field at some point. You do not want O'Neill Cruz just to be a DH, even though I eventually think he profiles that way into his future when he gets a little bit older. I do think right now with the athleticism that he possesses and the amount of athleticism that he adds defensively to this team, that he needs to be in the field some part in some way. Now, obviously, you want him to be at shortstop. I think that's a lot where people want him to be, because the shortstop position is a very important position in baseball. It's what most of these high school prospects that get drafted play and then eventually get moved or stick at, because it is arguably the most important defensive position in baseball outside of center field and catcher, because they're the kind of the communication between the infield. That's how important they are. And I think O'Neill Cruz could eventually do it. A lot of things that break down to this, he needs to be patient when he's making his throws to first. It's something that you saw in 2022 that he eventually caught on to, that he didn't have to fire the ball over there so quickly all the time. He didn't need to make things happen so quickly. The velocity was really nice, and it actually helped in terms of having some of those guys that were really fast on the base pass, which it's okay in that scenario. But when you had slower guys on the base pass, you don't need to rush everything. Go through the motions. Make sure you're getting through it quickly enough to get the out, obviously. But don't make sure that you're doing it too quickly to the point where things are just going awry and you're making too many errors. That's the things I want to see from O'Neill Cruz defensively at shortstop this year. I want to see the errors come down. I want to see the fielding percentage go up. I want to see him go through the motions and take his time. And obviously the shuffle has still been a kind of an issue for him as well, but that's also something that I think he'll take care of over time. For tuning into the Locked On Pirates podcast today here on Wednesday, March 22nd. On tomorrow's show with Craig, we're going to talk about some prospects to watch in 2023 and the must-watch prospects for this team in 2023 that could eventually make big impacts on this roster. And Craig, of course, is a prospect guru, so I'm sure we'll have fun with that. On Friday, I'm going to have my official prediction show. We're going to be predicting every single division. We're going to be predicting the NL Central, and I'm going to be making my official predictions for the Pittsburgh Pirates in terms of record, who I think the team MVP will be, the best pitcher, the best hitter. All of that stuff will be coming to you on Friday. On Monday, we're going to have Gary, of course, and a basic recap of spring training, pretty much in spring training last thoughts. We're going to have an NL Central breakdown on Tuesday with all the hosts of all of the NL Central Locked On shows. On Wednesday, we're going to have a Locked On Reds crossover just ahead of opening day, and then Craig will join us on opening day on Thursday, March 30th. So that is all the stuff that you're getting. Of course, you're going to be getting Locked On Nows After games, you're going to be getting game recaps and YouTube shorts that are going to be very fun, highlighting the biggest moments from every game. You're going to be getting series recaps. You're going to be getting winners and losers of the week. You're going to be getting a record of me and Gary, who got the closest in our predictions for every single week. All of that and more is coming your way on the Locked On Pirates podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at MVP underscore Ethan or at Locked On Pirates. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you on the flip side.